Joining us now from ESPN, he's their NASCAR expert, Bob Pockris. Bob, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So lots of changes to NASCAR this year. We have a new title sponsor. We've got new race formats. What's going to happen this weekend? I mean, we have new format. Are we going to have, generally we see carnage at the end of the race, guys trying to get into position. Are we going to see that at the end of segments as well now?
If it's like the truck race, you're going to see it after about three or four laps. But, there's a chance. There's a chance that drivers will take more chances early because the top 10 after lap 60 and the top 10 after lap 120 do get points. So, there is a chance that drivers might take a chance. But a lot of people think, hey, this is the Daytona 500. It's the first race of the year. People are worried about winning the Daytona 500, and maybe when they get to Atlanta next week is when they'll really start racing for those stage points.
Yeah, and Bob, but it's interesting because there's a lot of pressure on this race right now between the bringing on Monster Energy, which has brought with it, and we can discuss that, its own set of issues, and the accusation that the sanctioning body took that money away from a number of teams that shared Monster money, and now it's just sitting there with NASCAR. But and the format changes. And it's the biggest race, and people are saying, we've seen people write about it this week and talk about it on ESPN, that this is going to determine the future of NASCAR, how people react to this new format at Daytona. Do you think we should tap the brakes on that and really wait until we see it at Atlanta and we see it at a Richmond and we see it at a Martinsville? Because this is, these super speedway races, it's just different.
Yeah, it is, Mike. And look, if Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes back from missing half of last season and wins on a Sunday, I don't think you'll hear all the cheers from his fans. Will probably drown out anybody who's complaining about format. I think the biggest issue that NASCAR faces this weekend, as far as all the changes they've made, is that they have a new policy as far as damaged cars. And you can't replace body panels after a crash. You can't replace suspension pieces after a crash. You have 5 minutes to kind of put some tape or bear bond on your car, and that's it. And that caused in the truck race last night about 9 or 10 cars being out a third of the way into the race. And so at tracks like this where big wrecks can happen, NASCAR faces the danger of seeing a third, a half the field possibly being knocked out of the race much earlier than in the past.
So, Bob, that rule change, I mean, we're all talking about the segments, we're talking about the format, but that rule change about time to fix the vehicle and the no changing out of the body panels, the five-minute time limit, that one, when cars wreck at Daytona, they often do a lot of damage. And when they wreck at, like, Martinsville, it's not so much. Are we going to see that rule come into play, like, at the cookie-cutter tracks like Charlotte, where, even just sort of a medium-sized wreck causes body damage that may force guys out?
Absolutely. I think last year in the October race in Charlotte was a prime example. Joey Logano wrecked early, and they worked on their car for probably – had to be at least a quarter of the race before he got back out, but he was able to gain some positions, and earn some points. And, there's a lot of, a lot of fans, that they kind of enjoy seeing that. They enjoy the watching people thrash on a car and get that car back out, even though that car doesn't really make a whole lot of difference, as far as the winner of the race. So it'll be interesting to see how fans react to that rule. NASCAR put it in place because they didn't want stuff falling off of cars. They felt it wasn't the most safe situation of having pit crew guys all underneath these hot cars and doing a bunch of welding. And then they also know that those cars that go back out, they're compromised. And if those cars get in another crash, there's a safety aspect of driver safety that they feel they needed to address.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think I heard a stat that cars that went into the garage and came back out after significant repairs, I don't think finished any higher than 35th. So, I mean, it's obviously, it helps eliminate future cautions from things falling off the cars. It's going to help some of the smaller teams because these big teams had all these pieces and parts of cars ready to go to tack on and all this stuff. So I think it just simplifies. And also it takes a little bit of the points race out of the pit crew's hands and puts it all back in the driver. Hey, don't get in a wreck because you're not going to be able to fix this car. So again, I think as we look at the Daytona 500, what should we be looking for as this race unfolds? I mean, is there going to be different strategies because of these segments and guys wanting to get up front to get those few points? I mean, are we going to see teams, you know, the big teams, the Gibbs teams, the Hendrick teams, are we going to see these guys not necessarily worry about that and worry about winning the race, but we might see the smaller teams trying to get up there and get some playoff points?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're not in the top 10, do you come and pit a few laps before the segment or before that first stage is over? So then you'll just stay out and have track position for the start of the second stage. You know, that's possible, although, you know, I think it's just going to depend on conditions and the ability to pass. It's been pretty hot and slick during the days this week, but tomorrow's forecast is that it's going to be a little bit cooler. They should have a little bit more grip. So I think that we can talk about what-ifs and strategies and everything, but I think they're going to have to watch and see how that race plays out. And if they feel like that passing is going to be difficult, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see some drivers who are outside the top 10 to try to pit a few laps before the stage ends. Beyond that, you know, there may not be as much strategy here as there will be at other tracks where track position is much, much, much more important.
All right, well, we're on with ESPN's Bob Pockrass, the Adam Schefter of NASCAR, the most respected reporter in the garage, no doubt, bar none. Bob, I'm curious, when we start to look at this race unfolding, give us a few reasons why maybe a non-NASCAR fan should be tuning in on Sunday, and then I'm going to talk to us, you through who Mark and I picked in the first segment, and let's see what you think.
All right. I mean, I think a non-NASCAR fan, I mean, first off, you watch it just because it's a piece of Americana, you know. I mean, it's one of those big events that that people talk about around the water cooler the next morning. I think you're gonna want to watch it because you have this return of Dale Earnhardt Jr. and everybody wants to see, hey, you know, does this guy still have it after missing half the season last year? And then I think you're gonna want to watch it because it's so unpredictable. I mean, even if you don't know who all these drivers are, when you watch it, you'll probably see a variety of them running up front at various times. And you'll be able to see that you'll be able to watch a driver end up losing the draft, fall back to 12, and then see how long it takes them to work through their way through the field. And finally, you know, hey, you know, these races tend to get quite wild. When it comes down to the last 10 or 15 laps, drivers know that they can make their careers by winning a Daytona 500, and a lot of times that keeps them from maybe having the best judgment in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I told somebody the other day, I'll add one to that, one great reason to watch this on Sunday is no football on. And if you're a football fan and we've been following concussions and all this stuff, the protocol, we all know what the concussion protocol is. Well, we're watching that play out for Dale Jr. live, you know, at 200 miles an hour. And, you know, I think that's an exciting thing for us to pay attention to as we look at the health of these drivers and the decisions that they have to make. Well, we made our picks in the first segment and, you know, Mark went with a Hendrick car, Chase Elliott, hot hand. I went a little bit further out on the limb, thinking I want to see Tony Stewart's car win a Daytona 500, but this time with Clint Bowyer behind the wheel. Are either of us right, or how wrong are we?
Well, I would have said Chase Elliott probably wasn't the smart pick until I watched Chase Elliott in his qualifying race on Thursday, and he's improved so much on these tracks that I think he does have a much better shot than maybe some people or maybe I thought, you know, coming into the week. You know, Clint Bowyer, you know, hey, he also ran well on Thursday. He's not a bad pick. But if I'm going to make a pick, I'm going to pick Brad Keselowski. Yeah, I know it's not going out on a huge limb. He won two restrictor plate races last year, including the summer race here at Daytona. But it just looks like he seems to be the best with this current restrictor plate package.
All right, well, I want to ask you about this sort of the hubbub around the sponsorship. Nobody's going to be happy when a company like Monster comes in and replaces a more traditional product like Nextel and Sprint. But, you know, there's been a lot of craziness that's gone on with, you know, when Nextel would have the Sprint Cup girls out for the trophies and stuff like that. They're dressed in fire suits. This year, it's a little more edgy. Monster has them dressed in sort of leather corsets and things like that. And for some reason,
are you saying those aren't fire retardant, Mike?
I you know what? Remember the old days when everybody, you'd see people out there in Tyvek outfits because you weren't even allowed to have shorts or open-toed shoes. Now it's just chaos out there. It's the Lord of the Flies in the garage area. So,
I mean, I didn't mind it.
Yeah, so I'm guessing those are not flame retardant, and yeah, they might even melt. So, what's the big deal? And or I guess is it a big deal?
Well, it is because it's change, right? And,
yeah.
And change is always a big deal, and change sometimes is difficult to handle. You know, I think that certainly there's some people who believe that that it's not as classy as maybe the Miss Sprint Cups were, but other people view it as creating more of a party type atmosphere, which many people believe the sport needs, to attract the fans to races. So, it'll be interesting to see how drivers and fans react. I took a photo of a crew chief walking into a meeting the other day, and there were four Monster girls at the doorway, and he was looking all the way to the side. I was glad that he made it into the doorway because he wasn't trying to look anywhere close to it.
Yeah, amen. Watch Victory Lane.
Looking. So I think it's something new, but it's also something that Monster's been involved in other sports. They've been involved in Supercross for several years. And it seems like that the industry got used to it, and I think they probably will here as well.
Bob, we've seen in the not-so-distant past, we've seen Trevor Bayne kind of an upset win. We've also seen somebody like a David Ragan win at a restrictor plate race. Are there any dark horses that we should be looking at on Sunday?
Well, I think so. Would you consider Daniel Suarez as our dark horse?
Yes.
His first Sprint Cup race. Or Monster Cup, or whatever they're NASCAR, blah blah blah. I think that Daniel Suarez, his first Cup race, driving for Joe Gibbs, but he's in a Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. The Toyotas have worked very well together, and he might find himself in the right place at the right time. So I would not count him out. There's some others out there. I would look at, especially because the Fords also seem to work a little bit well together. Wouldn't rule out a guy like a Ricky Stenhouse Jr. or an Eric Almirola. Again, if they can put themselves in the right place at the right time, anybody can win this thing.
Well, Ricky Stenhouse and his love interest, Danica Patrick. Danica has had some trouble with sponsorship in the offseason. Has her NASCAR career jumped the shark here? I mean, should we be done with her?
I talked to her at length about that last week. And it's funny, at one point during the conversation, I was like, do you see light at the end of the tunnel? And she's like, well, what light is that? Danica's very, be more specific. I said, do you see yourself as being able to finish in the top 15 and challenge for the playoffs? And she said, oh, for sure. It might happen right away. And there was this kind of awkward silence, and I couldn't tell if she thought that I had this like look of quite doubt on my face or what. And she's like, it might. I think she faces an uphill battle because you just haven't seen any sort of consistency in her racing. One week she could be, she could run 10th at a track one time and go back to the track the next time around and run 30th. And until you see a strong progression of the ability to have the knowledge of what she wants in the car and be able to have a car that meets what she wants and be fat, and that she can be fast in that, you know, multiple times at the same track. You know, I just don't see a whole lot of upside until she reaches that, and she might reach it. I mean, there's that chance that, you know, she's still relatively young in her stock car career, but I think most people would have expected to have seen a little bit more of that already.
Well, Bob, we really appreciate you hopping on with us this morning. Have fun tomorrow. I'm down here in Daytona. I'm going to be at the race tomorrow, so should be a great spectacle, and hopefully it's good racing and the segments work out.
All right. Sounds good, guys.